Apparently I can teach the tape recorder. Okay, today's daf is Ayin Aleph, and we have to finish off the bottom of Ayin.
Yeah, that's right.
So the last thing we were talking about is the guy, we talked about that if a guy makes a neder that his wife's not allowed to have any food from him, he can't appoint a shliach to give her food, but he can make an announcement that whoever feeds her will not lose, will be recompensed, and therefore that's okay. And then we said we also brought the situation of somebody who made a neder stam with somebody that is not going to give him any food, and the guy's starving and he wants to find a way to provide him with food. So we're up to Gufa, which is about eight lines from the bottom of the beginning of the line. Gufa, we brought this yesterday. Hamudah haname chaveiro, somebody who has a vow that he's not allowed to have benefit from his friend. And the guy who is the vowee doesn't have anything to eat. So what happens? So the other fellow feels sorry for him and he wants to give him some food, but he has a neder that he can't. So what does he do? He goes to a shopkeeper who he's friendly with, and he says to him, "Ish plainim mudar hanami meni." This guy has a vow that he cannot have benefit from me, so I can't give him food directly. So I don't know what to do. So he just sort of hints him, and the shopkeeper understands. So who knows? So the shopkeeper then goes and provides this guy with food. And then he comes back and claims and sends a bill to the person who told him about it. So we mentioned that yesterday. Then we have another example. Beisei livnois v'gidre ligder sedeo ligtsar. The guy who has the vow against him, he needs to rebuild his house or to build a house. He needs to fix up his fence. He needs to harvest his field, and he needs workers. He hasn't got, and he can't afford to pay for it. His holach etzel poilim. So the other fellow goes to workers. Are regilim at the ones that he's workers that he's friendly with. He's used to having. And he says to them, "Ish plenim mudar hanami meni." This guy has a vow that he can't have benefit from me. Any day, I don't know what to do. And then they get the hint. Hey, noisim imay. They go and do the work. Ubayin v'neitan scharim izeh. And they come and take their wages from him. So that means it's not only food, but it's even with other things that are not food. The same trick can be applied. If the two of them are walking on the way, and the other fellow runs out of food, he hasn't got what to eat. So if there's another person with him, they're traveling in a whole group, he gives the food as a gift to a third party. And then he passes it on to the guy who needs it. And that's permitted. If there's only the two of them walking in the bush, and one hasn't got food, the other one has, but he's got a neder that he can't get food from him. Is meniach al gabi asela? He just takes the food and he puts it on a rock, al gabi a geder or a fence. And he says, "Arei mufkarim lechol mishayachpitz." They are hefker. They are ownerless. Anybody who wants can take it, and there's of course no one else around. And haloi noito, the other guy takes it for oichel and he eats it umutter, and that is permitted. But Rabbi Yossi says you can't do that. That one is too close to home. What do you mean? Oh my Rava, my time with Rabbi Yossi. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that one is too close to home? Because because we had that story in Beis Chayron in the Dorim, the Mishnah brings a story where a fellow made a vow that his father's not allowed to eat by him, and then he had a simcha, and he thought, you know, I should have my father there. But he's not allowed to provide his father with a meal. So what did he do? He went over to his friend and he said, "I am giving you as a gift all of the suda for the simcha, on condition that you invite my father." So the other guy, who was a bit of a strong fellow, he says, "Oh, you're giving it to me as a gift? If that's the case, I'm making it hektish." So in other words, he said, "Because you're trying to cheat. You're giving it to me as a gift on condition I invite your father, because you're not allowed to invite him. You're cheating." Yeah. So therefore, and that situation, Rabbi Yossi says it's too likely that people will cheat outright, and therefore we don't allow even indirect cheating.
Across the board, I wonder why the Gemara goes into situations which are so outlandish and will never happen.
Yehuda, this is Gemara, but.
realistic situation.
Some things are not likely to happen, and we ask, why do we care about it? And we say, Yankel Torah v'yater, it's Torah. And we have an obligation to learn Torah. Things with vowels, and nowadays we don't often make vowels, but I think in earlier times it was a much more common thing.
No, but I've learned these situations, like I'll say, you can't benefit from my food, but I'll give it to him and you can give it to him, or I'll pay him back. You know,
no, it's not on the same day, it's later on. Guy makes a vow, they have a fight, yeah? They have a fight, they get brogus, yeah, he didn't give me a chocolate biscuit, whatever. They have a fight. So the guy says, I'm making a neder, you're not going to have any benefit from me. And then a week later, in the cold light of day, he sees the guy starving. So he says, you know, we had a fight, that's true, but I don't want him to starve. But I have a neder, I can't give him any food. So he's looking for a way out. I don't think that's so outlandish. The whole concept of nedarim, I mean, these days we're not familiar with making vows all the time. But I think it used to be more than... I don't think this one is so outlandish. People have a fight. Who do people fight with? They don't fight with strangers.
They fight with
people who are either their friends or used to be their friends or they're people they know. And then at the same time, you know, you can have a fight with somebody in shul, but when it comes to the crunch, if the person is starving, you would want to help him, wouldn't you?
And you wouldn't be allowed to make a nether that I don't give my father food. How dare you?
People don't have fights with their fathers? Oh, and how? Yeah, so it can happen.
Yeah.
It can happen. So therefore, the person, deep down, he wants to give food to his father, yeah, but he's made this neder. So unless he finds a legitimate Pesach, he can't be matir neder. So he is trying to find another way around it. So I don't think that's so outlandish, to be honest. Okay, let's go on. Top line. Rabbi Yehuda Emer B'Yisrael Chodesh Echad. So we talked about when he says to his wife, he makes the neder that she's not let her benefit from him. So Rabbi Yehuda said that if he is not a Kohen, then we say that she can put up with it for a month. And then after that, he has to divorce her and give a ksuba. And if he's a Kohen, we ask her, she has to put up with it for 2 months because we don't want him to rush into divorce because he will not be able to change his mind and remarry her. So the Gemara asks, okay, the Kohen is fine, but with the Yisrael, the first Tana said what? Lamed Yoim, 30 days. And Rabbi Yehuda said what? A Chodesh, a month. Well, 30 days and a Chodesh is pretty similar. Said the Gemara, Hanitana Kam, it's the same thing. Zomar Rabbaya, you're right. The 30 days in the month is the same, says Abaya. And therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is not arguing about the Yisrael. He's only arguing about the Kohen. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be Mechalek, that if it's a Kohen, then we make him wait longer because we want him to delay the divorce as long as possible because it will be irrevocable. Yeah, Rava Omar, no. The difference between 30 days and a month is Chodesh Maliv and Chodesh Chosariki Binayu. The difference is, according to the Tanakam, is Dafka 30 days. According to to Rabbi Yehuda, if the month happened to have 29 days in it and the month is up, then that's it. Omar Rav Leishon Avalab Mefarish. When does it apply that we have these day limits? When he says 30 days. When he says, I'm making this vow that it should apply for 30 days, I'm not going to let you have benefit from my food for 30 days. So then we say that she should put up with the 30 days, and afterwards she'll be able to eat again, so she can hack it. Avol bistam, but if you didn't put any time limit, yeah, we don't say wait 30 days and then divorce, because he never made stipulation of 30 days. He just, so it's indefinite. If it's indefinite, yoytzila alta v'yitinksuba, then he has to divorce. She can demand a divorce immediately, and he has to pay the ksuba because it's his fault. Yeah, the whole thing about the ksuba is if it's his fault to getting divorced, then he has to pay it. If it's her fault, then he doesn't have to pay it. Yeah, so it's his fault. Shmuel Amar, no. Shmuel said, "Afilu b'stam lo yotzi." Even if he didn't stipulate, but we still delay it. Let's wait around for 30 days. Shema yimtza pesach l'nidrei. It's not just the fact that the vow itself was stipulating 30 days, but it's also the fact that we want to give him 30 days to maybe find a way to be matir neder. Yeah, they'll find a loophole. That if he had known what was happening, he wouldn't have meant it, and the rabbi will get him off, so therefore we give him 30 days. So the Gemara asked, if that's the argument, we already had Rav and Shmuel having a similar argument before. Why do they have to argue again? That not, we learned in the Mishnah, the previous parakah, someone who makes a vow, that his wife is not allowed to have intimacy with him. So how long can she put up with that? Is Beshama Yemrishtesha Bosa is Beshama, I say the maximum is 2 weeks. So still Lemrishabasakas, it says the maximum is 1 week. The Yoma Rav, and we said over there the same thing. Bachlikis has been mefarish. Rav says this argument is when he gives a time limit in the first place. So she knows that the vow is gonna finish either in 1 week or 2 weeks, depending on who, and therefore she can put up with it for that period of time. Avol b'stam, but if you bet it indefinite and didn't put any time limit, yoytzila alti v'yiteng ksuba, then she is entitled immediately to get her get and to get her ksuba because it's his fault. And Shmuel amar afilu b'stam nami la yoytzi, and even if he doesn't stipulate a time limit, even if it's indefinite, he shouldn't divorce immediately. Shema yibtze pesach l'nidra, we give him time, maybe he'll find a way to a loophole to be matir the neder. So it's exactly the same machlokes about tashmish hamita as we're saying about food. So why do they have to argue about both? Yeah, why can't they just make it a general argument? Why argue twice about the same thing? Says the Gemara, Tzricha, Itmar Bahi, if it told me only about the argument about food, I would say, Bahi Kama Rav, that's where Rav says that, if it told me only about the case of intimacy, I would say that's where Rav says he divorces her immediately, Mishum Deleyev Shabafarnas. He cannot ask a third person to provide for her intimacy, because that's kind of it's a one-on-one situation. But when it comes to food, about food, if you let her hang out for a while, he can at least give food to a third party and she won't starve. So maybe he agrees to Shmuel that either way you give him the 30 days to try to find a loophole. Don't rush into divorce, because meanwhile he'll do it through a third party. The eat mar baha, and if it said it, if they argued only about food, I would say baha mar Shmuel mishum de'efshu afarnes. That's what Shmuel says, that she has to wait regardless of whether he stipulated or not, because it's possible that he can feed it through a third party even while this is going on. Aval bahi, but when it comes to intimacy, ema mudle le Rav. Maybe Shmuel will agree to Rav that since he cannot provide it through a third party and she's missing out, then maybe Shmuel would agree to Rav that if he doesn't stipulate a time limit immediately, she's entitled to a get and a ksuba, therefore tzricha. Therefore, they have to argue in both the case of food and the case of intimacy. Okay, now we had in the next part of the Mishnah with Tznam, and then the Mishnah Madaris, he makes a vow on his wife that she's not allowed to eat one type of fruit. Yeah, she can't eat apples. So we said, Yosi v'yiteng ksuba. So then she has to give a ksuba, and there we didn't say anything about any time limits. Yeah, the Mishnah didn't mention any time limits, according to the Tanakhama anyway. Rabbi Yehuda mentions a time limit. There's no time limits. It's Bishlam. So the Tanakhama, when it comes to food, he gives a 30-day time limit. When it comes to apples, he doesn't. It's Bishlam.
It's also funny thinking.
So it seems to be a contradiction, though.
Yeah.
What's the difference between food and an apple?
No, but if food, there's 30 days, if one item is immediate divorce.
Oh, so how does that work? So Bishlam, well, the Rav, according to Rav will say, Kambistan, Kamifarish, that there's a time limit of 30 days when he said 30 days, and there's no time limit, when he doesn't put a time limit, then that's it. So why is it that with the apple, with the fruit, it says he divorces her straight away? Not because it's fruit, but because he didn't say a time limit. And Rav's Shita is that whenever there's no time limit given, that's entitled to immediate divorce with a ksuba. According to Shmuel, it's a contradiction. Why should food in general be 30 days and an apple should be immediately? Answers Shmuel, the difference between the Reisha and the Sefer is Achamai Skin and Nodra Hu V'Kiyam La. Sorry, Nodra Hi V'Kiyam La Ihu. That she made the vow and he was Mekayim it. So what happens when a woman makes a vow? A woman makes a vow, so the husband can annul it. If the husband does not annul it and he is Mekayim it, then it stands. Yeah. So there's two situations. There's one situation where he makes the vow that she's not allowed to have benefit from him, and the other one was where she made the vow and he didn't nullify it. So so what's the Tana of the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Kasavar Rav Meir. So as Rashi says, that the Gemara is assuming a Stam Mishnah's Rav Meir, and therefore the anonymous Tanakhama here is Rav Meir. And Rav Meir holds Hu Nisin Etzba Bein Shineha, that he put his finger between her teeth, and then she bites it. So what does that mean? Whose fault is it? Who's the one who caused the trouble here? He did, even though she said I'm not going to eat apples, but by him saying I affirm that or I don't nullify it, we blame him. Yeah. So we say it's his fault, and therefore immediately once he, even though he has affirmed it. Sorry, even though she said it, but since he affirmed it, we blame him, and she gets a ksuba straight away. And that's why, in the case of the fruit, because we're talking about where he affirmed it. Yeah. Is Fred the Gemara, the Savar of Meir, who knows in Etzel Ben Shinaz, does Rav Meir hold that by him affirming, that means it's his fault, that he's the one who caused the trouble? V'hatanya, well, what about this case? The Brisa says, Aisha not have been Nazir. A woman made a vow that she's going to be a Nazir. Yeah, so all the rules, she's not going to cut her hair, she's not going to drink wine, she's not going to become Tommy, all those things. And it's been carbon at the end. V'shama Baila, the husband heard about it, V'loy Heifala, and he did not nullify it. Yeah, so it stands. So whose fault is it? There's Rabbi of Rabbi Yehuda Imrim, he nasputla etzba ben shineha. She's the one who made, who even though he didn't nullify it, but it's still her fault. Even though he could have nullified it, but he didn't, we still blame her because she's the one who made the nedir in the first place. Is therefore the fichach. Im ratza habal laha fe yofi. If the husband does nullify it, good on him. But im omar yef shibishna jonis. But if he says, I couldn't be bothered nullifying it, I just want to divorce her because I don't like a woman who makes all these vows, is teitze shaloi b'ksuba. She misses out on the ksuba because it's her fault. That's the pshat. Because she made the vow, even though he didn't nullify it, but it's still her fault. So she doesn't get the ksuba. And that was Rab Meir talking. Rab Yosef, Rab Elazar, Remrim, Hu Neis, and Esla Ben Shineha. Rab Yosef, Rab Elazar say, no, by him not nullifying it, it becomes his responsibility. So it's his fault. Therefore, if he wants to nullify it, fine. If he wants to divorce her because he doesn't want a woman who makes vows, he has to give the ksuba. So in our Mishnah, we were talking about, we were assuming it's Rav Meir, and he said that if she made the vow that she's not going to eat fruit, apples, and he didn't nullify it, then he gives the ksuba straight away. So in the Mishnah, that seems to imply that we're blaming her. But over here, I'm sorry, we are implying, he has to give a ksuba. The Mishnah said he has to give the ksuba. Yeah, yotzi v'yiten ksuba. So in the Mishnah, we're saying he has to give a ksuba because it's his fault. And here Rav Meir is saying that he doesn't give a ksuba because it's her fault. So Rav Meir would be a contradiction if that's the pshat. So the Gemara says, Epoch, switch the names around. We had this Brisa, we had an argument, and it was mentioned Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir on the one hand, and Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Elazar on the other hand. So he says, swap it around and make it Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Imrim Hu Noisin. They're the ones who say it's his fault, and therefore she does not get a ksuba. And, I take it back. Hu Noisin, he's the one whose fault it is, and therefore she does get a ksuba, like in the Mishnah. And Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Elazar, he knows that's her fault, and therefore she doesn't get the ksuba. Fred the Gemara, if you're going to switch the names around, you're going to have a different problem. Because now you've got Rabbi Yosef saying it's her fault. So the Gemara asks, but Sava Rabbi Yosef, he knows, is Rabbi Yosef holding that it's her fault? Well, it's not. We have in the Mishnah, in the previous Mishnah, Rabbi Yosef, Yemer Banius, if she's a poor woman who's not about the makeup, yeah? We said when she made a vow not to have makeup, if she's a poor woman who's not used to having makeup, then it's only shlenosan kitzvah. It's only if it's indefinite. But what happens if it's indefinite? So WAC, yeah. Then it's immediately she gets divorced, but she gets a ksuba. Yeah. If she gets a ksuba, that means we must blame him. Otherwise, she wouldn't get a ksuba. So WAC in the Mishnah saying she gets a ksuba. So therefore, WAC also says it's his fault. So how can you switch it around to make Rabbi Yosef be the one who says it's her fault, and the Mishnah Rabbi Yosef says his fault? So the Gemara says, okay, not only switch it around, but switch the names of who the partners are. Swap partners. Rav Meir and Rabbi Yosef both say it's his fault, and that's why in the Mishnah, Rav Meir says he gives a ksuba, and Rabbi Yosef says he gives a ksuba. Yeah? And therefore the other two, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Elazar, they say, they will be the ones to say it's her fault, and therefore she won't get a ksuba. But so the Gemara asks, one second, Rabbi Yehuda, now you're making Rabbi Yehuda be the one to say that it's her fault, but we have Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah too. V'sava Rabbi Yehuda, he not. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold it's her fault? Well, it's now in our Mishnah we said, Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer B'Yisrael, Yoyim Echad Yikayim. The Rabbi Yehuda says that in our Mishnah, with the fruit, he says, keep it for one day, and if it's a koyin, it's 2 days. Yeah, but then afterwards he gives a ksuba. So Rabbi Yehuda is also saying that it's her, that it's his fault. All in our Mishnah, if we have Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, everybody in the Mishnah is saying it's her fault. Yeah, because all the case of the Mishnah is Yitink Suba. Yeah, so therefore we're always blaming him. So where are you going to find your two against two, where you want to find two people who say it's her fault and two that say it's him? So far we've got three who say it's her fault. Rabbi Elazar is not mentioned in our Mishnah, so you could leave him to say it's her fault. So the Gemara says, you're right, we'll have to do that. Because based on our Mishnah, Ema will have to say that now Brisa will have to edit the Brisa and say that it's three against one, not two against two. Rab Meir, Vir Rab Yehuda, Vir Rab Yosi, Omrim Hunais, and they all blame him. And therefore, all of these cases, when he divorces her, he has to give her the Ksuba. Rab Elazar, Omer Hinasna. And Rab Elazar is the one who says it's her fault. Ah, you won't like that. You won't like such an editing, because in Tim Tzalomer Zugi Zuli Katani, you'll say, 1 minute, we got a Brisa, so you can edit up to a certain point. Right, so the Brisa said two guys say it's her fault, two guys say it's his fault. So it could be that we got the names wrong. So you can switch around which two said what. But to say it's three against one, now you're going a bit too far, because you're really making up your own thing now.
Yeah, as long as the editing is correct. And not
well, the editing is going to be real. It's going to be realistic editing, just because you don't understand pshat. So up to a certain limit, we'll say, okay, maybe we got the names wrong. But to say we always learned there was two against two, which is normal. Normal arguments are two against two. You don't usually get three against one. Yeah? So therefore, you want to insist that it's two against two. Ezema, so then make it be Rab Meir, Rab Elazar, Emrim Hinasna. So go back to where we started and say that Rab Meir is the one Rab Meir will be the one who says it's her fault, even though we've got a problem with the Mishnah on that. We'll get back to that in a second. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosi, Emrim Hunaisin. So we'll end up with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi. You haven't got a choice with Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi, because they are mentioned beforeish in the Mishnah that they say Yitink Suba. So they have to be the ones who say that it's his fault. Yeah, Rabbi Elazar, we're happy to say it's her fault because Rabbi Elazar is not mentioned in our Mishnah. What about Rav Meir? So we were assuming that the anonymous opinion in the Mishnah, we were assuming was Rav Meir, because Stam Mishnah Rav Meir, and therefore we had a problem because he says that you give a ksub and it's his fault. Yeah, so we'll have to say Hastam Adleik Rav Meir, even though generally a Stam Mishnah is Rav Meir, but when you have a proof that it's not, then you'll have to say that's anonymous opinion is somebody else. Yeah. And La'ilam Rav Meir will be in the Brisa, the one who says that it is her fault. Okay, now the Gemara says, Vaiter, let's look at the words of Rabbi Yosi, since we mentioned it. Rabbi Yosi says, a woman makes a vow that she's not going to put on any makeup. Yeah? So if she's a poor woman and there's no fixed time, then we said that, if he wants to nullify, he has to give a ksuba. Why? Because if he wanted to, he could have nullified it, and therefore it's his fault. Yeah? So what does that mean?
Well, he may be happy with that.
If he's happy, then it's his fault. Okay, if he's happy and he didn't nullify it, and then he wants to divorce her because of it, he has to give a ksuba because it's his fault. It's Alma, but the fact that we blame him means that if he wanted to, he could have nullified it. Alma Baal Motzi Mefer. That means such a vow where a woman says that she's not going to wear makeup, the husband is allowed to nullify that vow. Yeah? Is the question is, Uraminu, now we have a problem in the Mishnah Dorim, Eilu Dvorim Shabal Mefer. The husband can, it's not a blanket thing that a husband can nullify every single vow under the sun. There are only certain parameters, certain categories of vow that a husband can nullify. And these are them. Dvarim sheyesh behem inui nefesh. It has to, the Pasuk says, Isha kisidur neder l'Hashem. And it says there, la'anois nefesh, to afflict herself. So if she makes a vow that is going to afflict herself, she's going to refrain from something that is considered affliction, is then the husband can nullify it. Yeah? So if she says, I'm not going to eat, that's afflicting yourself. So he can nullify it. Yeah? What if she says, so the Tanakhama over this Mishnah says, Im erchatz im lo yerchatz. She makes a vow that she's going to wash, or she's not going to wash. She makes a vow that she's never going to wash. So the Tanakhama says the husband can nullify that. If I'm going to put on makeup, I'm not going to put on makeup. If she makes a vow that I'm not going to put on makeup, that's considered afflicting herself. To tell her, if a woman's not allowed to put on makeup, that's an affliction for her, and therefore the husband can nullify it. That's according to the Tanakhama. But Rabbi Yosi comes along and says, Amar Rabbi Yosi, ein elu nidre inui nefesh. Not putting on makeup is not an affliction, so she won't put on makeup. So the husband cannot nullify that vow. What is the definition of inui nefesh according to Rabbi Yosi? These are the ones that are afflictions. If she says, I'm not going to eat meat. that I'm not going to drink wine. Or shall I eskashet bebigdei tzivonim? Not makeup, but colored clothes. She says, I'm only going to wear black. I'm assuming that means black, yeah? She says, I'm not going to wear normal clothes. I'm going to dress up like a chves nishvos. Yeah, I'm going to dress like a witch. Only black. So Rashi says that if she's not allowed to wear colored clothes, then it's a shameful and it's a bizoyan for her. Yeah, and he will look disgusted, and he will be disgusted with her as well, and therefore that's called an affliction. So that's what Rabbi Yossi says. Yeah. So according to Rabbi Yossi, but Stam, if she says I'm not going to wear makeup, that's not an affliction, and he can't nullify it anyway. So what's Rabbi Yossi and Amishta doing, blaming him when she makes such a vow that she's not wearing makeup? Answer the Gemara: Hakamai Skinam Bedvarim Shebeinoy Leveinah. There's another category besides Inui Nefesh, which is called things that are between him and her. In other words, intimate and private things between him and her. Pardon me, which is, Rashi explains, this refers, as Gemara says in the Dorim, this refers to, they used to have a thing that they would put on, they would put on some kind of a hair removal lotion or whatever, to remove the hair in this intimate place. Yeah, so that's only between him and her, no one else has any business there. Yeah, so if she makes a vow that she's not going to do that, so that's not an affliction, but it's something private between him and her. He wants her to, or he, and she says, or even doesn't want to, she makes a vow she's not going to do it, it's a baal mefer. So that's all good. So the Gemara says, "Hanich leman d'omer dvarim shemin leben ha'bal mefer." That's good. If you'll hold, if there's a pachlokes, whether he can nullify such a vow. So you want to say that Rabbi Yossi says that makeup is considered dvarim shemin leben ha'. That's all good and well. If according to the one who says there is such a concept, that if it's a private thing between the two of them, ha'bal mefer, the husband can nullify. El leman d'omer in ha'bal mefer. But according to what it says, that sort of vow cannot be nullified. It's only inui nefesh, only afflictions. Ma'ikal meima. Then why are you going to blame him? How do I know there's such an argument? Itzmar, because we have a statement of the Gemara. Devarim shebeinoy leveinah, these sorts of private, intimate things. Rav Huna, Omar Habal Mefer. Rav Huna says that is something that the husband is entitled to nullify. And Rabbah Barahava, Omar in Habal Mefer. That a husband cannot nullify it, because it's not really to do with him. And the expression he uses, Shalei Matzinu Shu'al Shemes Ba'afar Pir. We don't find that a fox dies in his own hole. Now, work out what that metaphor is supposed to mean. I think it means that the fox knows what's going on in his own hole, and he's not in danger. He can put up with whatever goes on in his own hole. You'll never find that a fox got outfoxed in his own hole. Yeah. So therefore, the same thing, the husband is something he could put up with. It's not something that's such a tragedy or bothers him so much, whether she's done this shaving cream or not. And therefore, he cannot nullify it. So if the husband cannot nullify it, again, why are you blaming him and saying he has to give a ksuba? We should blame her, because she made a vow that he can't nullify. Ella answers the Gemara, Hacha mayaskinon, the talinus l'kishuteha b'tashmish hamita. It wasn't just Stam, she made a vow, I'm not going to wear makeup. She connected wearing makeup to intimacy. The Amra that she said, she says that if I put on makeup, then it will be permitted to me to have intimacy with you. So now we're talking about intimacy. That's already inui nefesh. Yeah? Like Rav Kahana said, the Amra Rav Kahana, if she says to him, you're not allowed to benefit from me with intimacy, kaifa, then he can force her, misham shosa, and have benefit anyway, because she cannot forbid on him something that doesn't belong to her. Yeah? But tanoas tashmisha chalai, but she can forbid it on herself. If she says, I am forbidden to have benefit from intimacy with you, is the offer. He is entitled to nullify such a vow, lefisha in machilin ma'adam, davara asalai. Because you can't force a person to have something which is forbidden to him. And he's not allowed to do it because he's going to cause her to transgress her vow. And therefore, he is entitled to nullify this vow. And therefore, that's going to be the case in the Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi says he gives the ksuba, because he could have nullified it if he wants to. Therefore, if he doesn't, he has to give the ksuba. Fred the Gemara, what do you mean? That vow could be not chal at all. Why don't we just say, Loiti skashet v'loiti yosa? She won't. She says what? If I put on makeup, then I won't be allowed to have intimacy with you. So why don't we just say, don't put on makeup, and it won't be osur. The vow won't take effect altogether. Answer the Gemara, Im kein, karu la manuvelas. If she never puts on makeup, then people will call her ugly. And therefore, when people start telling her she's ugly, she's going to put on makeup. Because putting on the makeup is not transgressing the vow. So if all of her friends start telling her she's ugly, she's going to put on makeup. Once she puts on makeup, then she'll be forbidden with intimacy. So therefore, the husband's allowed to nullify it.
I wonder whether a glass of water will, you know,
clear your throat.
No, sometimes it stills it a bit.
Okay.
I'm blessed with it once a year.
He's gone to put on his makeup. Okay, go on. Okay, so next question is Vitiskashe Vitayasa. Well, so what do you mean? The other problem, so now you're saying what? That so if she puts on the makeup, she's going to be also with intimacy. Why don't we say, let her put on the makeup and let her be also for a limited time? According to Bishamah, they can put up with it for 2 weeks. 1 week. So why don't we say that instead of telling him that he can nullify it because he can't put up with it, this is a inu nefesh, why don't we, ein machilin dover she'osur, it's only osur for 1 week or 2 weeks. So why don't we say it's only also for 1 week or 2 weeks and he can put up with it? Because it answers the Gemara, Hani mili heiched de adra ihu. Where do we say that he can put up with it for 1 week or 2 weeks? Is when he made the vow. He said, "When I'm not letting you have intimacy for 1 week or for 2 weeks, going to be some of his hillel." So therefore, what's happening there? The Savra, why is she okay? And therefore, she doesn't entitle to a divorce with a ksuba, because she can put up with that. Because she's thinking, what did he made a vow, we're not going to have intimacy for 1 week. Savra, so she thinks, Mirsa Chrasa Chalai, right now he's angry. So for 1 week, he wants to be angry. Vahashto Mesiv Daita. And then he's going to calm down, and 1 week later, we'll make up, and then away we'll go. Aval Hacha did Nadra Ihi Vishasikla. But when she made the vow, and he didn't bother nullifying it, that means he wasn't angry. She comes up out of the blue and makes a vow without having intimacy. So she's hoping that he will show some sign of that he's upset about that. But he doesn't. So now she thinks, uh-oh. She says, my bluff backfired. Sovra, now she thinks, mida ishtik, when I said I'm denying him intimacy and he didn't complain, is misnah desanili. He must hate me. Yeah? He must hate me. Otherwise he would have complained. Yeah. So therefore, we say that even for 1 week or 2 weeks, there's no putting up with it going on over here. Okay. Next, the Mishnah said again the same words of Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi, Emor Bani Yishlo Nasan Kitzva. If he didn't give a fixed amount of time, then she gets a divorce with a ksuba. But Kama Kitzva, what would be a fixed amount of time for not putting on makeup? Om Rabbi Hurama Shmuel Yud Beis Chodesh, up to 12 months. If he said, don't put up. If the vow was not to put on makeup for 12 months, since it's a time limit, then it's okay. If she's poor, because she's not used to putting on makeup anyway. And Rabbi Babachana, Amra Bechanon, Eser Shonim, 10 years. Boy, that seems a long time. Is Rav Chizda, Amra Avimi, Regel, up to the next Yontif. Shekem B'nesi Yisrael, Mishkashis per Regel, because everybody puts on makeup on Yontif time. Yeah, so therefore, even a woman who's not used to it, she's poor, she doesn't put on makeup, but Yontif she does, and therefore, that's the maximum to put up with it. Uvashir Lamed Yoyim, if she's a rich woman who puts on makeup all the time, the maximum to put up with it is 30 days. Maishna Lamed Yoyim, what's special about 30 days? This you're going to like. A woman, when she puts on her perfume, the smell lasts for 30 days. And therefore, she could put up for 30 days without putting anything on. There you go. Okay, we move on. Says the Mishnah, a person made a vow and that his wife is not allowed to go and visit her father's house. Is bizman shehu ima be'ir, when they live in the same city, and so she goes to. She's used to going to visit her parents a lot. Is chodesh echad yikayim, up to 1 month. She can put up with it, so we shouldn't divorce her. We should try to. If it's up to 1 month, she can put up with it. Shnayim yoitzi, but if it's more than that, then she's entitled to a get v'yitzi ksuba, and he has to pay the ksuba. Uvizmancho b'iracheres, if she's in a different city, so she doesn't go that often to her parents' home anyway because it's interstate. Is then regel echad yikayim. If he says only for one yontif, I don't want you to go, then she can put up with it. because she doesn't go that often anyway. Shloisha, but if he says for all three regalim, Yoitzi would think suba. The Gemara is going to ask, what about two? You went from one to three. What's that thing with two? A person makes a vow to his wife that she's not allowed to go to a mourner to be menachem oval, or she's not allowed to go to a party to a chasana. It's such a vow, yoytzi v'yitin ksuba, she's entitled to a get, and he has to pay for the ksuba. Why is that a thing? Because he's locking her at home, and therefore it's not fair, and it's his fault, so he has to give a ksuba. If he had an excuse of davar acher, we'll see in the Gemara what does davar acher mean. I'll leave you in suspense till tomorrow. Is then Rashoi, then he's allowed to be mekayim, and he doesn't have to give a ksuba if she wants a divorce. Amalah amenasha teimer, that she makes a vow that she wants his wife to teimer lepleini masha martali. She wants her to repeat to somebody else some intimate thing that they had between them, that she said words of I don't know what love or whatever that she said to him. He wants her to repeat it to somebody else. She wants to tell her someone else what he said to her. Or he wants her to fill up a cup and then throw it in the rubbish. So he wants her to do stuff that's useless work. It's yoytzi v'yitin ksuba. So in all those cases, she's entitled to the ksuba because it's all his fault. To be continued tomorrow. Okay.